0818 715 815.
Welcome to hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Live Line. Claire, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Ah, good. But still, reading this correspondence and the text that you sent us in from your daughter.
Yeah.
They're just horrific about this. I know, I presume they're isolated incidents. Can you tell us what happened in your case, Claire, your daughter?
So we sent her to a three-week welter course. Mm-hmm. And from the get-go, the letters, the text messages were just horrendously sad, you know, begging to come home, crying, feeling like an outsider, not happy at all, cold, being denied showers, feeling starved a lot of the time, just completely unhappy, to say the least.
And we
contacted after getting her first letter the first week. The first letter was just heartbreaking when we read it. Immediately we got on the phone to the director of the course, and we asked some questions and said, you know, could you give us some support or help us out here? So it was just very much a case of, oh, you know, she's fine, she'll get on with it, this is normal. It takes them 10 days to settle in, so this is going to go on for 10 days.
Right, that's nearly halfway through the 3 weeks.
Through the 3 weeks, and yes. We were lucky then we brought her out the first weekend because she had a sports competition. Luckily for us, but the way it worked out, she had to come out, so we brought her out the first weekend, and she was just, obviously then we were able to hear the details of everything, and she bawled and bawled crying going back in after the 2 days. I mean, horrifically bawled, screaming, crying, and you know, we thought we were doing the right thing, because it was hard to know, are we doing the right thing with the wrong thing? So we promised her, look, please, just do this 5 days for us, because she had another sports competition the following weekend. So she knew she'd be able to come out again. So that was the only way she got through the course, because each of the weekends, luckily, she had a couple of competitions that she had to attend. And then we gave up last week, and we brought her home, because the messages got to a level. At one night at 3 a.m. I got a text message saying, I can't take this anymore. And then there was radio silence for 5 hours. And you can only imagine, as a parent, and I'm actually 8 months pregnant, you can only imagine what I thought for those 5 hours.
Let's listen to some of the texts that you've sent us in.
Hi, Mammy. How are you? I'm really upset and I'm crying in the bathroom now. Is there any way you can pick me up tonight? I'm begging, please. I'm really, really upset and I can't wait until Friday. I was crying at breakfast too, and I cried myself to sleep. It's really bad. Please? Are you awake? I'm in my bed crying again. I went to the Kaylee crying too. I really want you to pick me up tomorrow morning. Is there any way you could bring me home earlier? It's really horrible here and I'm really upset. Please come back for me. I'm really sorry. I'm in my bed bawling now. I really want to come home already. I'm in the bathroom crying now. Is there any way you can come and pick me up earlier than Friday? I'll text you again in around 20 to 30 minutes, so please stay awake. The Kinnera won't even talk to me. I'm in my bed crying now.
And the letters themselves, Claire, are horrific. Mm. This place is very bad. I don't understand anything the people are saying. I haven't even had a shower. Yeah. I don't have any friends here. Mm-hmm. I'm all alone. It's freezing. Yeah. Please don't send me back, and please come and pick me up early. I'm currently trapped inside my bedroom wearing a mask because a girl in my room got COVID. So we now have to eat outside in the cold, and we aren't even allowed to have a shower until we all test negative.
Yeah. I had to ring the college actually in relation to that, and I had to actually highlight that they were depriving her of a basic human right, would you believe, Joe, in order for the child to be allowed a shower.
The teachers sit beside me, which is nice. The teachers sit beside me because they feel bad for me, and I feel bad for me too. This is not having. Is she? Does she feel she's being bullied?
she felt in the house she was, because in the Gaelic, of course, she got into this year, gangs of friends were allowed to stay together. So from the start of the course, there was a gang of girls that knew each other from home, and they all were in the house. And then there was my girline with them. She, from the get-go, she was an outsider. So they kind of excluded her from the get-go because they didn't need to make an effort because they had their own gang of friends. So she was very much left as an outsider. Yeah, exclusion, from excluded from day one. And then as the days went on, there was an odd comment like, don't sit there. No, I don't want you sitting there. Don't sit beside me at the table. When are you going home again? You know, so I'd call that nasty comments were then starting. And at that point then last week, we decided to pull her when she was saying about nasty comments being said at the table and in the house. And the Kinnara stopped speaking to her. As you know, they're all, as you know, Joe, there's always a Kinnara for each house. But when I rang a week ago to the organisation to complain because they weren't allowing her to have a shower because there was COVID in the house, obviously someone told the Kinnara that a parent had rang in. The Kinnara didn't speak to my girling for the last week at the court.
Oh, God.
So she had no Kinnara talking to her. And a gang of girls in the house that kind of were in their own friendship gang as well.
I thought that was to be... Has that changed because of COVID, I wonder?
Apparently so. When I did contact the head of the organisation twice, and they said, well, this year was an exceptional year because they hadn't ran the courses for 2 years, so they decided to let any friends live together.
So when you actually when you arrived down to take her home,
yeah,
after those texts and messages, was there any interaction with the organisation, so to speak?
When we first got the first email from Abby, to just briefly summarise, I did contact the manager, the principal of the course. She didn't respond to my email. After that, then I contacted the head of the organisation via email. So I contacted the head of the organisation twice and I laid out everything. She did ring briefly and said, it's getting sorted. But we weren't told as into how it was getting sorted, and we got no follow-up, like what they did do for the child. And then I emailed ahead last Friday morning again and said, we're pulling our daughter from the course. And then we actually had listened to your show Thursday afternoon. My husband had listened to your show Thursday afternoon. And it was like listening to, when Andrew told his story about his son, it was like listening to our own story about our daughter. And at that point, we decided it's time to get her. So I emailed the course director and I emailed the head of the organisation Friday morning. And I mentioned your podcast and I said how it resonated so strongly with us that I was coming across that afternoon to pick the child up. And they rang my husband just to say, fine. And then I went to the college that afternoon and I think it was an Ord Kinnara came out and said, and I said who I was there to pick up.
Yeah.
And the child was sent out to me and that was it. I wasn't met by the prevage or the steward or anyone in management. No, the child was just completely sent out to me. And it was lashing rain. And I picked her up and I brought her home Friday afternoon. I received no email correspondence back from the director of the organisation or phone call. Nothing since.
And I presume the issue...
It was like we didn't matter. We don't matter. Yeah. It didn't matter that the child's mental health was in danger. I'm a secondary school teacher as well, and as we all know, I mean, well-being, mental health, mental health, it is the integral part of our education system now in post-primary. And I'm also an Irish teacher, would you believe? So, and I also am a former Kinnara, Ord Kinnara and Moonshore with Irish summer courses. So I'm just appalled, Joe. Appalled, shocked, disgusted, raging, and I don't know where to go with this. I'd love if someone could tell me who governs these people, who are they answerable to, who are they accountable to, because I don't even want to stop with just speaking to you today. Someone has to be answerable to this.
But they're also getting paid for it. The state is paying them.
€1,000 from the parents, €1,010 from the parents, and then the state are paying as well.
What's the food like, by the way? There's always...
Desperate. Rations. That's the word. Rationed. Rationed. Very unhealthy. Not nutritional in any way or form. Tiny portions. She did say that she was absolutely starved.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Most of the time. Very, very hungry. Very sad. Again.
Okay.
Whole story.
first of all, her letters are really, she's a very, very elegant writer. I know she's writing with great difficulty about herself. But and I haven't read all the letters because I don't have, I don't want to read all the letters. Obviously, there's different bits in it. But her texts are so, as we heard, are so, so heartbreaking. So
they
heartbreaking.
Are, aren't they?
But how is she now? She's home.
Smiling, happy, okay. Happy, delighted that she's out, thrilled that we took her early.
And it's not her fault. You've got that into her, I know. It's not
her fault. Yeah, we have all weekend.
It's not her fault.
No, she wasn't aware till she came out how much I did behind her back, that I had emailed the course directors and emails, and I've done phone calls, and that we got, you know, I emailed you and I wanted to air this to the nation. And my big, I just want to get out there to parents, I suppose, Joe, the message to parents, just be very aware that this can happen. Like, we sent her off thinking she's going to have an amazing 3 weeks and make new friends and learn a little bit of Gaelic and immerse herself in the culture and have a smile on her face. Well, I couldn't be so wrong.
And it's great that she was able to tell you so soon and so quickly.
Yes, that we were able to pull her, and our lifeline was, like Andrew, we snuck a phone in and that was the lifeline that gave her security. Because I don't know what she might have done had we not been in constant contact with her and constantly supporting her, and then we pulled her in the end.
Okay, it's a very, very difficult story, Claire, but I wish you and your family well.
Thank you. And I can tell you,
and I can tell you we're getting other stories as well, and there should be some protocols. Okay, good amila maga, Claire. Thank you. Thank you so.
Good amila. Slán.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Kevin, good afternoon.
How's it going, Joe? How are you?
Good. You're listening to the Gaeltacht stories. You begin, I was bullied at the Gaeltacht 6 consecutive years. I went to the same place, 1997, 2002. Tell us your story, Kevin, please.
How's it going, Joe? It wasn't so much I was bullied. I just said, Joe, there was more like a culture.
Okay.
Of a culture of bullying going on, like a sort of laddish culture, I suppose I'd describe it. Like sexism, misogyny, homophobia was like rampant at the place. And you might say, like, oh, why did you go back 6 years? Like, I genuinely did really enjoy it there.
Mm-hmm.
But like thinking back, I'm a teacher now, like, and like it is going back to 2002, was me last year, like, but I mean, like, looking back at it now, like, it's just pure bullying going on constantly, like.
And what would the older lads be bullying the younger lads, or what way did it work? Or would a group be?
Yeah. So how it works is, like, the kindergarten system in itself is a farce, in terms of the oldest person in the house basically becomes the kindergarten. So if you're there 3 or 4 consecutive years, and you're say fourth year going into fifth year, so you're 16.
Okay.
Even if you're an idiot, you've got awful Irish. You're not compassionate. You'll still be made a kindergarten because you're there long term. So the system in itself is like fundamentally flawed. And like the kinneras are effectively policing the houses. Like there's 14, 15 lads in the house. The Ballantyne's cooking dinner. She doesn't know what's going on. You've got 4 or 6 people in a bedroom, teenagers. The kinnera tea can be an absolute idiot with awful language skills, just an awful person. And like there was one lad, kinnera, he was a joke. Like he was there about 6 years like myself, and he'd pigeon Irish, and he was just a bully. Like every single kid in his house would have black and blue arms, just dead arms. It's just the culture of it, though, Joe. Like it's not an isolated instance. I can promise you. Like I could repeat songs for you that are sung against anti-women songs, anti anything under the sun. Like, and this was one of the top Gaeltachts in Connemara. Like it's not. They're a real strict one in terms of English. You speak a sentence in English, you're sent home, which is great because you learn a lot of Irish and stuff. But I mean, like,
and when you say they were singing misogynistic songs, I presume they were in Irish.
Os Gaeilge, like loosely translated. So Dúirt mé, Comhairle mé tae, Deat nó mé do shin, Níl sé, Fós ré, Comhairle mé f and t, bitch, which basically means I said 10 minutes ago, where's me f and t? It's not ready yet. Hurry up. BITCH. I mean, and that would be sung in front of the principal, like every day. And nothing, he might say after a few minutes, oh, Irios, Irios, which basically means, you know, stop.
It, yeah.
But I mean, it's pure and utter rampant. Like, I heard the word, like, faggot. Sorry, excuse me, I shouldn't be using that word on radio, but you hear them words every minute of the day down there. Like, I remember walking, I would have been in my first or second year, so 12 or 13, And the kid or tea, he was from Port Marnock. He wasn't a bad lad, to be fair, but it must have been annoying. And we were walking down the cobbled road in Connemara, and he goes to me, "Grieving, it's doing, got in it, chuck you," which basically means, like, everyone in the house hates you. Like, imagine you're 13 and you're getting told that by a 17-year-old. Like, it's not nice, like.
And Kevin, who can you... Can you appeal to the Banan Tea? Can you appeal to the Cún Chathair?
No, you wouldn't say nothing to the Banan Tea. Like, they're just... Yeah, they're not really... You don't see much of them, except for a couple of minutes here and there. I suppose they could have gone to the Prince and all, but, like, you don't really want to be the rat either, you know what I mean? You're just... You're one of the lads there. You kind of just cop it on the chin, like, but you shouldn't have to, like...
And when you say your arms would be black and blue, from what?
A hand on... You'd just be getting dead arms all the time. Every young kid in the Gaels would have a dead arm. Their forearms would be black and blue just from getting deep on the air.
This whole thing of trying to give somebody a punch on the top of the arm, yeah.
You're not going to punch someone in the face because they'll have a black eye, right? So you punch them on the top of the arm where their t-shirt's going to cover them. And like that was just the culture, Joe. Like it's just a laddish kind of culture, like. You'd see it every another one. We were on a bus coming back. Girls and the boys go home separately, generally speaking, because they're on different roads in Connemara.
Okay.
And we were driving on the bus home one day, and one of the main teachers was there, and there was girls waiting outside their house. They'd just been dropped off the bus. And your man rolls down the window and goes to the bed. This is one of the main teachers. Colini Luffa, which loosely translates as girls, you're their mingers, or, you know, ugly looking. Mingers, pick your word. I don't know what it translates, but it basically means, Luffa means minging. Basically.
And Kevin,
from the top, like.
When you say you get older, the older fellas, but you went there 6 years, so you went from what?
Yeah.
11 to 17, 12 to 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And what were you like as a 17 and an 18 year old there?
Genuinely, I probably took part in the behaviour as well. Like, I'm not saying I was perfect either, but I'm just telling you what the culture is. So I'm not painting myself
as a victim.
I probably took part in it as well. Like, but it's just really loosely supervised. Sure, they've no one in the house is super. Just the Kinnerer is policing it, and the Kinnerer can be an idiot.
But it's a Kinnerer. But what is the benefit of being a Kinnerer? Are you given a few bob or something?
No, you get nothing. The benefit is kind of the title and a bit of prestige. I think they bring you out for fishing, a burger and chips on the last night. Like, you get literally nothing. So, like, they're not selecting the best candidates. They're selecting lads that are a wee bit older and that have probably been at the course 3 or 4 times, right?
And did you hear the text we had earlier on from this young woman?
Yeah, like I can identify with some of it. Like, obviously, the food was always really good when I was there. I'm not having a whinge about the food. It was nice and there was plenty of it. So I can't really agree with that bit. But I mean, the whole bullying thing doesn't really surprise me. Obviously, it's different about lads. I doubt girls are giving each other dead arms, but lads definitely are, you know.
But the common denominator over since we started talking about this on Thursday, the common denominator is that when the parents took out their children who were being bullied, they didn't feel they were hindered. They were taken notice of. Like the most recent one there, Claire says she went down to collect her child, and they sent the child out on her own to the car.
I can't really talk about that one, obviously, but I mean, put it this way, like, I'm not surprised, like, bullying at the Gaels, in my experience, I can only talk about my, 18 weeks there, is, like, 10 times worse than any bullying that goes on in a high school.
Why, Kevin?
There's no teachers around, Joe. You're in the house with a bunch of 15-year-olds, there's no one policing it. At least in school you have teachers.
That's true,
no one in the house. Kids just put in 15, 16-year-olds in the house, they just run amok. So, like, every night, shaving foam fights, and it's generally the younger kid that gets it. Like, all the older kids, be spraying the younger kids with shaving foam, waking them up, like, because there's no one around to look at it.
And if you did, like, the other worrying thing, Claire said she did report it, but the result of her reporting it was that her daughter wasn't spoken to for a week. She was ostracised even further.
I could definitely identify with the Kinnerer tea ostracising someone, because, like, the Kinnerer literally told me when I was about 12, maybe 13, everyone in the house hates you. Like, I remember that so clearly, and just going, like, what do you say? Like a 17-year-old telling you that.
And you mentioned to me that you're a teacher now.
Yeah, I'm a teacher now. Like, I'm just looking back. I was telling my parents about it the other day, actually. I was in, just having a chat with them going, literally exactly what I have to tell you going, it was outrageous when you look back at it. Like, it's just so loose. That's the main word you can describe it, loose.
And of course, did you tell them at the time?
I think we told them after, like, when I finished, sort of, like, after the sixth year, I was like, that place is nuts. But, like, I did enjoy it, because otherwise I wouldn't, like, don't get me wrong, my parents were making me go. But I wasn't going kicking and screaming. Like, I loved it, because I was a sort of sporty kid, and I got in. I probably didn't really get that much bullying as the years went on. I definitely maybe did in the earlier years. But, I mean, I never felt homesick or wanting to come home, you know, and I could feel my Irish getting better. Which I guess was helpful as well.
And by the way, are you teaching now in primary or second level?
No, I'm a secondary teacher out in Australia. So,
good stuff.
I'm just home at the minute. Can I actually wish my mates Kat and Mark a happy wedding on Thursday? They're getting married in Marbella.
Okay.
Sorry about that, but
you're going to that?
Yeah, I'm going to that.
Good lad. Well done. Okay, Kevin, thanks for that insight. Really thanks. Right. And you mind yourself. When are you going back to Australia?
Not for another 3 weeks, Joe.
And why are you teaching in Australia? We need primary school teachers here.
That's brilliant.
And second level.
Now coming back.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I love it out there, yeah.
And did you go out with a group or pals?
I think about eight of us went out, like, on a 1 year, kind of on the beer, and just ended up loving it, so sort of stayed.
And how many of you stayed?
Me and Keith are still there, me and one of the lads, and Mark's out in Perth, so I guess there's three of us out of the original sort of 10, I suppose.
And how many years are you there now?
13.
What? Yeah. And that's fine. You've no desire to come back here. You know, people say after a few years you begin to settle down, then you want to come back, and if you have lucky enough to have kids, you'd want to rear them here. But that's
Don't get me wrong. Like, I love Ireland and the people.
Yeah, of course.
And all, but
yeah.
You know, when you settle, it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm afraid to ask you. You came from Australia. You're in Ireland, but that's not an Irish phone line you're on, is it? Where are you?
I'm in Paris at the minute. I'm just right beside the Eiffel Tower.
And by the way, bullying in schools in Australia is taken very seriously, isn't it?
There is bullying in every school, okay. I suppose. But they do try and stamp down on it, but a lot of it nowadays is kind of online, you know yourself, kids talking each other on social.
It follows you into your bedroom. That's the awful thing about it now. But your point was, 20 years ago, the bullying was taking place in bedrooms because you're in the Gaeltacht and the lads are all together and there's no proper supervision in bedrooms. Okay. Yeah. Kevin, you're from Ireland. You're working in Australia. You're phoning us from Paris and you're on your way to Marbella. Where did it all go wrong? Enjoy, will you, man?
Cheers, and
stay safe.
Thank you,
bye-bye. Go to Margaret. And Joe at RT.ie, the stings are gone for some reason. Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is the text number. Breda, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you coping with the shock of it?
I am coping, Joe, thank you.
Are you over it?
I am.
But I'd say you're none the better of it.
Not really, no.
You feel you were whipped off by Mr. Whippy?
Well, it wasn't Mr. Whippy, but...
Okay, cut a horle.
Well, I was shopping in Kildare Village and I went to buy two ice creams just before I left to come home and... I handed in a tenner to pay for them, and the girl, who was a lovely young girl, asked if we were paying individually because I was with my sister. And I said, no, I'm paying for both of them.
Yes.
And she said, it's another €4. So
two ice creams.
Two scoops. Yeah.
We love the scoops. Two scoops, €14.
Yeah, exactly. So I obviously wasn't going to hand them back. And I just said they're very expensive or, you know, that's extortionate or something like that. But, of course, I couldn't blame the girl. She was just doing her job. But I just think that €14 for two ice creams is extremely expensive.
Now, were you flaky? Did you get a flake with it?
Nothing.
Okay.
Now, there were two flavoured ice creams, Joe, I might add. One was strawberry flavour and the other was... A mango, I think it was.
Well, was there such an amount of mango and strawberry on the cone that it was teetering? Do you follow me that you thought you might drop it?
Absolutely not. So there were two average scoops in each cone. Yeah. You know what? You know the ice cream scoop, the size of it.
Well, it depends on the size. It can be a small scoop or a big scoop. But are you saying
it certainly wasn't a big scoop.
Was it a baby potato scoop?
A little bit bigger than that.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. Sprinkles?
No.
Hundreds. Nothing. Hundreds and thousands.
Nothing like that. No.
Strawberry flavor.
Just strawberry flavor and mango flavor.
Dipped in nuts.
No. Nothing. No extras.
Nothing else thrown in.
Nothing else thrown
and just,
in.
Just for the full description of the cone, given the seriousness of it, Breda, was it a single cone? You know, there was sometimes you have a double.
It was a double cone. There was a scoop of ice cream in each side.
Side, okay. And that was £7.
Yeah.
Not £6.99, £7.
Not £6.99, €14. As I said, Joe, I handed in the tenner thinking I was paying for both with the tenner.
Okay, now you say it was Morphy's ice cream. Okay.
Yeah.
They sent us in a statement. We charge the following for our ice cream. Small in a cup or cone is £5.50. Medium in a cup or cone is £7. And large in a cup or cone is £8.50. So you didn't even get the large.
No.
You got the medium.
Yeah. For 14 euros. Well, that's according to the price there now. That's true.
In all of the above, you can have more than one flavour in any of the sizes. Morphy proudly makes all of our Irish ice creams from scratch. Nothing artificial. Using the best locally sourced ingredients where possible. I presume that's the same with all ice cream, isn't it? Many thanks to all our amazing customers who've been supporting us for the last 22 years. Sunny regards from Dingle. We're getting everywhere today. Dingle, Paris, Marbella, Australia, Kildare Village.
I think that's the where the ice cream actually, you know, that's the head office.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
They have shops in Dingle, Dublin, Killarney, Galway. Pop-up shops in Cahor Strand in Wexford and Inch, County Kerry. Yeah, okay. That's what they say. It's not the most expensive ice cream you've ever had in all your living life.
It truly is, Joe.
Will hell freeze over before you buy another one?
Well, I certainly won't be paying €7.
And did it leave you? Did it leave you cold, or were you fuming?
I wasn't fuming, but I just thought if I had maybe two kids with me, you'd be paying out €28 for four ice creams, which is very expensive.
And I wonder what you know the Mr. Whippy vans?
Yeah.
Which is one of those ice creams? You know the Mr. Whippy comes along.
I know. I'd imagine. I don't know. I mean, I don't often buy ice cream, Joe. I'm not a lover of ice cream even, but just that particular day when I saw the hut there, I decided I'd buy an ice cream. Anyhow, I'd say they're about £3.50.
They're worth about £3.50.
The
Mr. Whippy. Is that with, yes. And then a flake is probably extra. Were you offered, did you have any options that you didn't avail of? Like, could you have added a flake for nothing for the £7?
I doubt it very much. Okay. I don't know.
I think they would have said that to us in their statement.
Yeah, I doubt it very much.
Okay. Okay. Now, was it extra savoursome because it was so expensive?
Not particularly, no. No.
And when you were growing up as a wee child, Breda, what was your favourite ice cream? Do you remember back?
Oh, was it I'm super sure split? If I had a HP Patsy, remember wafer.
You'd be lucky.
I would have been happy with that,
A single wafer. Imagine getting remember you used to get a double wafer?
Exactly, I do.
Remember? And then your tongue would go round and round and you're wearing it down and then it's getting smaller and smaller and the two little wafers themselves are getting closer and closer till eventually they...
I know. I remember.
Remember the Patsy Pop?
No.
The Patsy Pop now was from Palmgrove in Dublin. And Patsy Pop was just an orange pop dipped in a chocolate, and was probably the cheapest of all the pops you could buy. Do you follow me?
You probably just got that in Dublin, Joe, not down the country.
Dubliners got it. And then if you had a few bob on you at the weekend, you got just a plain choc ice. Now, not your Magnum. Magnum is a choc ice that went to Trinity College, isn't it? So much added to it, isn't it? No, a choc ice is just a choc ice back in the day. And then the brunch came out. But then I don't know whether you've noticed or not, Breida. I've called for an inquiry before, but it's fallen on deaf ears. The amount of biscuit on the brunch has been reduced dramatically. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that.
Breida. And the amount of brunch has been red. And then you had the little Cool Pops. Remember you had the Cool Pops?
If you had no money whatsoever, you had your Cool Pops.
But those were the days. Okay, Breida, so you won't be...
I won't be indulging again at €7 an ice cream, Joe.
Okay.
Put it like that,
and we're still looking for the cheapest straight Mr. Whippy cone in the country. Just one long swirl, no flake, nothing. Want to find out what the cheapest one is for this summer. Do you remember the Wibbly Wobbly Wonder, Breida?
No.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
No.
But it was great.
I missed out on all of those.
You sure did. Okay, Breida, good. I mean, I'm all good, Breida. That's you paid your money and that's what you got.
But
were you aware beforehand it was going to be so expensive?
Well,
you were.
To be truthful now, Joe, afterwards I did see a price list. But I didn't notice it beforehand, and that was my fault.
Beatrice DeVore. Is that the correct pronunciation of your name, Beatrice?
No, Beatrice Davern, Joe. How are you?
Davern, sorry.
Beatrice Davern, Maud's Ice Cream Bray.
Okay.
Okay, €1.50 for a small ice cream.
Wow.
€2 for a small 99.
Yeah.
€3 for a large 99.
Right.
€5 for two Maud's scoops ice cream.
€5?
€5, two scoops.
For the two scoops.
Yeah. Now, we also do a Hulk ice cream, which no one else does. You actually change green. €2.50 for kids, €3 for adults. A Hulk ice cream. Did you ever have one?
No. Don't send one in to be melted by the time we get here. But it's and are you saying that? Did you say that's green or it changes to green?
You change to green when you eat it.
Oh, sorry, that's great. Tear your shirt.
No, but in fairness, Joe, they everything has gone up for us as well. The cone biscuits have gone up. The serviette, talking about toilet rolls, the serviette has doubled in price. The sauce has doubled in price.
Wow.
The sprinkles have gone up. The electricity has gone up, and you have your staff.
That's a very good stuff.
Depending on where you're getting your ice cream from, like the whip ice cream, we do an Italian version that comes in from Italy, so you're getting a pure gelato whipped ice cream for €2.50 or €3.
And who owns Ma? I know Ma's are in Hoth, aren't they? And they're
No, but the Ma's are Northern Ireland.
Oh, are they okay? It's a brand, like?
The brand, yeah. It's a brand. So for €5, two scoops, and it's the most fabulous ice cream. With your sprinkles and your sauce included.
Okay, I'm on my way. Thanks to the Beatrice Davern and Breida as well. Thank you both. Now, Sean Collins, again in the shops. You're in Abbey Green. Who do they do? Burger King and various other. They have a lovely offering in Abbey Green. And you, Sean, were in the Abbey Green service station in Bord Hill in County Limerick. Well, what did you witness?
Well, I goes out there, I get some breakfast, maybe every Saturday or Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I eat outside. And if you're eating outside, you're facing the motorway. You're facing the slip road that goes back down onto the motorway.
Okay.
And in the last year, roughly, I've seen 6 cars that would go down the slip road, stop and reverse back up the slip road and change their mind and want to come back into the filling station.
Okay, just because we're on radio, it can be difficult to explain. Okay, I'm driving.
Yes.
Why do I take this slip road in the first place? Where do I think I'm going?
Well, if you're taking the slip road, you're going back out onto the motorway heading to Dublin.
No, but how do I get onto the slip road?
How do you get onto the slip road? Well, if you're leaving Bord Hill filling station, you leave it, you get out onto the road. It's the R494.
Okay, now I'm still
good.
Now, so you're saying people take this slip road?
Yes.
Obviously, they're going forward. They then realise they've missed an exit, is it?
Well, what it seems to me is like if you take the slip road, you're going back out onto the motorway. You're heading to Dublin, so you're going back out onto the motorway from Bird Hill.
Okay.
But when they're going down the slip road, they either decide that they want to go into the filling station, because you can see the filling station from the slip road. They stop on the slip road, reverse back up the slip road against traffic.
So they're reversing into traffic.
Yes.
They could be rear-ended by a car coming.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Now, when you say they, how many?
Well, I've seen six. In the last year, roughly. I've seen an Arctic lorry do it one day. He went roughly halfway down the slip road.
Okay.
Stopped, reversed back up the slip road, and he drove back into the filling station.
So, is there a design problem? Are they missing the filling station and the Apple Green, which is very popular?
I'm not sure what are they actually doing wrong. Like.
Well, they're reversing down a motorway. They're mad on a slip road. If you miss your exit, that's your hard luck. Keep going unless you're.
Yeah, that's what most people do. That's what most people do. Like, if you decided to go to a filling station and you missed it, you just keep going to the next one. But what I've seen there is they stop halfway roughly down. You can see the filling station. They'll reverse back up. You have to reverse back up into a roundabout. They'll go around the roundabout, down the road, and back into the filling station where they want
because
to go. Because
I now have it on Google Earth. This and I'm going to screen grab it because this explains it brilliantly. You're brilliant. But it's very hard to explain on radio. Okay.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Let me. Okay. So there is a design problem, I think. There's a motorway. Okay? There is a motorway. You're coming off the slip road of the motorway, which obviously you think you're going to Apple Green.
Yes.
And as you come up off the motorway, there is a roundabout. Okay?
Yes, spot on.
And most people then see the Apple Green. Okay? This is what I'm thinking, because let's not say people are stupid, because they're not. People see the Apple Green as they come to that roundabout, and they then proceed through the roundabout thinking that the entrance to the Apple Green is on the other side of the roundabout. They then realise when they get to the other side of the roundabout, they are now on the slip road back onto the motorway. Isn't that correct?
Yes, spot on.
So then they reverse back up to the roundabout.
Yes.
And then they do a U-turn, and then they've come off the roundabout at 6 o'clock. They've gone to what they think is Apple Green at 12 o'clock, where in fact they should have been going at 9 o'clock. Isn't that right? Do you follow me?
Yeah, I guess.
But by the time they're doing. But so we need signs. We need clear signs on that roundabout. I think it is. I'll screen grab it here and ask people what they think, and I'll tweet it and see what they think. But I think that's the explanation that I see and it's a big Apple Green station.
That's huge.
So you see it, and you would kind of think that it's but that explains, isn't that exactly what's happening? So you're in the car park of a Saturday morning, and you're sitting there having your breakfast or whatever, and you're looking out, so you can see the cars committing to the exit. They think is to an exit which they think is the entrance to Apple Green. They commit to the exit, and we're halfway down to realise there's no gate, there's no entrance into Apple Green. The entrance to Apple Green is around the other side. Back up. And what they should do is, which they won't, but what they should do is once you're committed to a motorway, you have to proceed. You proceed the motorway, and you see the problem is then you go as far as, I think, Nina before you turn around and go back. So I think it just needs better signage.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll ask, is there any road engineers? Now, you know, I'm known, regardless of the layout of the road, it's lunacy reversing down reversing up a slip road.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Isn't it lunacy?
Oh, madness, yes.
It is absolute madness. So the car fly around and rear end you, and you're, well, the person in the other car as well is probably in trouble as well. If they hit you, everyone's in trouble.
But it must happen a lot, though, because, like, if I can see this 6 or 7 times maybe in the last year, like, how many more times is it happening there?
That's what I mean. Why are so many? It's like what Leo Varadkar said about the passport office a few weeks ago. The passport office, we've been doing it for years at this stage, but the passport office said, 40% of the forms that are sent in are completed wrongly. And Leo Varadkar said, well, then change the forms. Change the forms. Don't be blaming the public. So why are drivers getting confused at that app of Green? Well, I think I know why, looking at it from my bird's eye, bird's eye view of Bord Hill.
Yeah, maybe you're spot okay. on, maybe you're right.
Now, I think we rang the Gardaí, and the Gardaí said they've never had a problem, but it only takes one, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, funny enough, yeah. The guard, I contact Traffic Watch and... Then a guard contacted me and he said the exact same thing. He never heard anyone complain about it.
But like it's like when there's an accident, someone says, that never happened before. Well, it's happened now.
Oh yeah, last Saturday was probably the best day I've ever seen. I seen two cars drive up from the motorway, one after the other.
So then there is a signage problem. Okay. Well spotted, Sean. But anyway, I've tweeted that on at Joe Liveline and it'll go out on at RTE Liveline as well. And if there's any road engineer that knows what we're talking about, I think there is a simple solution. And that is that Apple Green or the roads, or Apple Green didn't build the roads, but that the entrance to Apple Green should be signposted much clearer, because then they come back out of Apple Green at 9 o'clock in that roundabout, they swing around again, and then they're on the correct way down the entrance onto the motorway, and they're off again. Okay, well spotted, Sean.
No bother.
By the way, when you ring Traffic Watch, what's the number that's on the side of the guarded cars or whatever? As long do you get an immediate response?
No. It took close to 15 minutes before anyone answered that phone.
Okay, Sean, good to meet you, Margaret. Sean, well spotted. Seriously, very well spotted and well explained.
Thank you.
And you see, the thing about the type of stuff you're doing, Sean, is, and this is the type of people, people health and safety officers do, we will never know how important your call is, because we never know whose lives you saved, obviously, because people say, hang on a minute, I heard about this, don't get confused, go the other way. Anyway, Sean, thanks indeed.
Thanks for the call.
Margaret. Okay, Ursula McCormick, we're back to the Chunky Chalk, the Mint Chalk, the Chalk Guys, the Feast, the Loop-de-Loop. Do you remember the Loop-de-Loop, Ursula?
Oh, I do, but they're still going, Joey.
The Faff Frog. And
you get the Wibbly Wobbly Wonder, I think.
You get the Wibbly Wobbly Wonder and the Super Split. And can you get it? Can you get a Chilly Willy, so to speak?
No, I don't think so, no. Not on a hot day, anyway. But, no, Joe, what I was going to say to you was, if you remember Patsy Pops.
Actually, I was talking about a few minutes ago. Yeah, Patsy Pops, yeah, tell us.
But you and I are of an age.
Yeah.
And we're from the same area. I was raised in Chicor, so... Those kind of, yeah. And I remember going to the core of a Saturday afternoon to the matinee, and my mother giving me 6 pence to spend. And I got a nice lolly and a pack of potatoes.
And a Patsy Pop.
And
remember the Calippo?
Yes, well, you can still get them as well.
Oh, okay, I must get out more. I love icebergs. Are they still going?
That's my husband's favourite, yeah. Okay. He loves them, yeah.
What about the tongue twister?
Oh, I don't remember them.
I presume the golly bar's gone to the woke graveyard.
No, just in a bigger form.
But you can't call it
the big
bar. But you can't call it golly bar.
No, they don't call it that anymore.
And people will find this hard to believe. But do you remember the golly bar?
And you couldn't, now it's the politically correct to say that. There.
Yeah, but it was the nicest ice. It was just a block of really soft ice cream.
Oh, it was lovely.
And they used to have. They used to have and again, I'm only doing this for information, and it was of its time. But there was a picture of a minstrel, a black and white, a gollywog.
Oh, was,
a gollywog.
Yeah. Yeah, just like the jam. It was on the jam at one stage.
That's right, yeah. Robinson's jam. Yeah. And then the vanilla, remember the vanilla tub of ice cream? Remember the little tub, if you were going? And then
and you still get the maxi one with all the different colours.
Can you still get the maxi twist?
Yeah.
That's what, you only got that now if you were going to pictures.
Oh, yeah, that was special. No, if you had enough money. Like, my mother gave me a shilling. It was sixpence in and we had sixpence to spend. That was it. And there was a little shop on the corner in Inchicore, Dickie O'Brien's, and it was so small. And you go in there and you get a huge bag of sweets, like for a penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're bringing me back now.
Lovely time.
Back now. And what was your favourite? What was your favourite?
Sweets?
Yeah.
Bull's eyes.
Oh, yeah. You did the kind of licorice flavour.
Yeah. Oh, they were lovely. I still love hum-bums,
You see, I'm looking at a poster for HB going back to, it doesn't say, the 70s and the 80s. Okay.
Right.
It's on Pinterest, of course. So that's been handed to me. But, like, I'm looking at the brunch.
Still brunches. Lovely.
Yeah, but I defy anyone. The brunch, the number of sprinkles, biscuity sprinkles on the brunch has gone down dramatically.
Probably.
Gone down dramatically.
Yeah, you could be right there.
Oh, I am right. I am right. I challenge anybody now. And back in the day, a brunch was 33p. That's how dear it was. Okay, where's Lorraine? Stay there, Ursula. Lorraine.
Yeah, yeah.
You nearly had you feel you were whipped off as well. What happened?
Oh, my God. I just took my grandson for an ice cream.
Yeah.
And I had, a five-year-old note in my hand. Didn't think anything of it. And I got a one scoop for him and a one scoop for me in a cone.
Okay.
And they said 8:20.
What?
8:20.
I know. For explain.
Just a one scoop. Sure, he's only five. One scoop of ice cream in his. One scoop of ice cream in mine. 8:20.
Well, surely you said, hang on a minute. You went cold with the fright.
I nearly died with the fright because, like, Joe, I know, like, we're laughing at it and whatever, but, I mean, if you had turned up with three or four kids, like, that's a meal, like, for a family, you know?
And did you ask?
I just said, are you sure? And they said, yeah, 8:20, 4:10 each.
And they said cost of living and the price of the cone has gone up
and
the serviette's gone
anything.
Up. And the...
didn't say anything. No, I had said it to a few people and I'm sure people thought, God, what a miser. But I just said, that can't be right. Like, it can't be that expensive to buy an ice cream for two people, like little ice creams.
Was this a branded ice cream?
It's crazy now.
Was it a brand?
It's not a branded ice cream, but it's a branded shop.
Is it a branded ice cream shop?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
8:20.
It is. But I just think, Joe, somebody's going to have to pull the plug on the prices in Ireland at the moment. They're ridiculous.
And was the scoop flavoured?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the flavour?
Nutella was mine and bubblegum was his.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now was it 8:20 for two cones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four ten
each.
Okay.
Yeah. Farah is Italian, the home of gelato. Farah.
Hello.
Tell us. Explain.
I can't hear you very well. The line is very poor. Got the tail end of the previous lady. She said, I think she paid €7.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, you have to think of the ingredients. She had mango.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, that is, you can have your 99, which is only wood and cream. Now, mango is very expensive because, you see the big mango, you think, oh, there's a lot of pulp in there. The stone is is a half of the fruit.
Okay.
So there's very little flesh.
Okay.
So, it depends on the ingredient that you use. You pay more. Beside that, if it's done is the ice cream, which in Italy we call a sorbet. It's not an ice cream because there's no cream in it. The fruit, the price of fruit that people should use, the original one, it's gone up in price. I mean, I'll give an example. Years ago, I don't know, I'm sure you know that company, Murphy in Cork,
Dingle. Yeah, Dingle.
Yeah, well, they had this to die for ice cream.
Okay.
I mean, call it sorbet. And it was €16.
Okay, what was that?
It was champagne ice cream. Ah. It was to die. Now, that's about a good 10 years ago, which even then was very expensive. But you pay for what you get.
Champagne, so this, champagne ice cream, Farah, €16.
Yes, champagne sorbet.
And it was a sorbet, sorry. And it was to die for.
What's to die for?
And would you ever partake of an ordinary cone? Is that peculiar to Ireland, or do you get them everywhere?
No, I don't like the ice cream here because it's cream. In Italy, we eat sorbet.
Okay.
But even the sorbet in Italy, I'm sure it's gone up because the price of strawberries, the price of lemons.
Okay.
You know, people, like, if you eat a proper good ice cream, the ingredients are fresh.
But, yeah. But,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Stay there, Farah.
There's no point to be this extraordinary and make news. The ice cream there was water because, what was it? What else was? Mango and?
Yeah, but people love their whipped ice cream in Ireland. They really do.
Yeah, apparently, no, what I'm saying is, now their lady had mango. What else was in that ice cream?
Oh, okay, there was I think strawberry was the other one.
Yeah, you see again. You know, it's okay, the rents are going up, everything is going up, but also the fruit has gone up. And mango it doesn't produce as much flesh.
Yeah, I understand.
So you need a lot of mango
and
to Farah, do ice cream.
Farah, are we ice cream ignoramuses in Ireland?
Well, it's not ignoramus. You're an expert in Ireland of ice cream, and we're an expert on sorbet.
Okay, so when
we're only expert on sorbet because we have lots of fruit in Italy.
Yeah, of course.
Not because
yeah.
We are snob or anything else, because, you know, the temperature is 35 degrees, believe you me, you don't want an ice cream with cream.
Do you not know?
Hmm?
Why not?
It's too heavy.
Okay.
It's too heavy for the system, it's too heavy for you. You want something to refresh your mouth, which is
that's a very
what
good...
you would call here, you know, the thing that you give the kids with a stick, what is called it?
And are you living in Ireland, Farah?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, when we know Italian, well, from a certain part of Italy, came here and set up fish and chip shops, even though they weren't doing that in Italy. But did any Italians come here and set up ice cream shops?
Yes, there is. There's a huge chain. There's a big chain that I know of. One, and they have a shop in Grafton Street, and now they open
that's Gelato. Gino's Gelato.
Yes. And they do the proper ice cream.
I think they have two shops now, Grafton Street, and they wanted
to... In Dundrum.
And then they wanted to open a third in Grafton Street, and Dublin City Council said, no, that would be unbecoming of Grafton, which is bizarre. Mm. I'd rather see a Gino's Gelato. They're a lovely shop than I would, than I'd see an empty eyesore of a shop. Hey, John, up to Virginia and County Cavan, where else? We're talking about the whip-off republic, your lips. The whip-off republic, but in Cavan, it looks like you're coming in with the cheapest whipped cone in Ireland. John, proceed.
James, Joe, I thought it was €2.50, but when I looked at my phone, it was actually €2 per cone. The cones were so large, I couldn't open the door of the car. I had to get my wife to open the door because I couldn't get in with the two cones. Huge big cones, €2 each.
And you mean the peak of ice cream just went on and on and on. There was Everest of an ice cream.
I had to eat it quickly because it would have fallen over if I didn't. But if somebody said to me €7, I would definitely keel over to die with the price.
You have to see the ingredients.
Ingredients,
we're
my
talking about ingredients.
That's a rip-off. It's rip-off. That's what it is.
Okay,
rip-off
what
Ireland,
did you have?
Alive and well. Ripping off people.
Sorry, what did you have?
You must be joking.
Well, what, Farah, what did you want to ask, John?
I want to ask, what type of ice cream did he have?
It was beautiful whipped ice cream.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You can't compare the price of cream and the price of mango.
Mother of God, €7. You buy a whole fruit shop for that.
Well, I haven't been in a supermarket recently, I think.
And John, whereabouts is this €2 shop?
It's Cost Cutters in the centre of Virginia. I was passing through it yesterday.
Oh, well done.
I couldn't believe. I actually looked on my phone after I phoned, and it was €4 for two cones. And my wife commented on the side of the cone.
What was the ice cream like?
It was lovely.
See, Farah, do you not like ice cream?
Joe,
we don't eat cream.
So you do eat cream in Italy? Would you
no,
stop?
We don't. Sorry. Look at the Roma recipe from Milan down. We do not have cream. We don't use cream, and we don't use butter. Period. End of story. Yeah. We just don't. I'm sorry. You know, you can't compare the Italian cooking with the French cooking or the Irish cooking, English cooking. Everybody have their own version. And in Italy, because of our way of eating, we don't eat cream. We don't use cream. From Milan down, we don't use butter, only olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a question of being a snob. It's a question of different taste. When you have 35, 40 degrees, believe you me, you don't want an ice cream. You want a sorbet to cool your mouth, to cool your system. Because at the moment, this morning in Rome, was 29 degrees at 9 o'clock.
Where?
In Rome. This morning. And now it's 36, 37. Actually, was going for 39 today.
Good God.
And believe you me, you don't want an ice cream with cream because you want something that lasts and cool your mouth and your system.
Well, did it cool your mouth yesterday?
It certainly did, Joe. And if somebody said to me, €7 for an ice cream, I know where I'd be telling them to put it. I wouldn't be parting with me €7, that's for sure.
Sorry, you can buy a jacket in Penny for €7 and you can buy a jacket in Brand Thomas for 400. That's the difference. That's what I'm trying to say.
How much is it to buy a mango? How much does a mango cost?
How much is a mango in the window? Well, the mangoes are dear, aren't they, Farah?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, the mango, did you ever peel a mango? Did you ever eat a mango? Did you ever prepare a mango?
Yeah, there's not much in it. That's your point.
There's very much in it.
Yeah.
Because the stone... Look, I had a mango last night for salad because I love them, okay?
Okay.
But now, when you see the mango, you see, are you eating all of that?
Mm-hmm.
By the time you peel it and you get the stone out...
Yeah, you're saying that, yeah.
There's just one portion. Okay. So can you imagine if you want to make ice cream, how many mango do you need?
What about other flavours? If you wanted a plain ice cream, are they going to charge €7 for it?
That's not the point. We're not talking about that now.
Okay, let's not...
We're talking about the quality, ice cream, and the ingredients.
Yes, Ursula, come in and sort out the ice cream wars, yeah?
Ice cream parlours are going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
That's just it. They just sell ice cream. But you go into a central shop and buy a cone, like that man says there, you can get a great cone for €2. I was at a country festival yesterday in Minolti and there was the most beautiful ice cream van there, lovely vintage truck, and I looked up his prices and the dearest thing on it was €4. It was like a tub, like the Maxi Twist, full of ice cream with, you know, whatever syrup you wanted on it or anything. €4, me and my husband have it. It was lovely. Now, I love going to ice cream parlours, but you know you're going to pay that bit extra.
It's
properly made ice cream. You go into a shop, they have these machines. They're just a bag that they empty into it. But they're just as nice. Well, they're not. Most Irish people are happy enough with that, really, you know?
Well, the difference is, you know, when you go to America and you ask for cream, they give you a spray. That's artificial.
Oh.
But here, they give you the cream. You know what
I'm
saying? It's different qualities, different ingredients.
Yes, of course. I lived in Belgium for 4 years, and they're very big into their ice cream parlours. And we would go at least once a week to an ice cream parlour, and we'd expect to spend about €12. But you'd have fruit and all in that, maybe strawberries, and you know.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the ingredients.
Yeah. I'd agree there, though. Yeah.
You know, but then, as I said. You know, if you use proper ingredients, it costs.
Okay. And you're telling me, Farah, in parts of Italy, I know Italy is, like, well, what was the great description of the difference in Italy? In Milan, traffic lights are to be obeyed. In Rome, a red traffic light is just a suggestion. And then in Naples, a red traffic light is leftover Christmas decorations. They're completely ignored.
Well, you see, those kind of statements, not only they are very demeaning to the country or to the person that serves, but then I can see that the Irish are drunk and they're green. It's not fair.
Okay.
You know, you don't take a bunch and just make a laugh of it.
Okay, I don't mean it's fair. I'm sorry you took it that way.
Well, that's the way it is. I'm used to it because that's all it, you know, all
we
I get.
We love the Italians. How many people have you met in Ireland that say Italy is their favourite country in the whole wide earthly world? Between the food and the people and the weather and the sea and the history and the culture and the artefacts and the archaeology and the art and the Venetians and the Florentines.
We're blessed with all this.
And the Romans and the Milanese and then it's...
But you see, Joe, we are very fussy.
Farah, what do you love most about Ireland?
What we're very fussy is the ingredients about food.
Okay, I know.
To us, food is holy. So we are very fussy about ingredients.
And would you put cream in spaghetti carbonara?
No.
That'd be a sin.
Look, I'll tell you what it is. Italy was conquered by half of the world.
Yes.
And every single country, I mean, to make a bit of a laugh, we had the kitchen sink of everybody in Italy, which in a way was a blessing, because that's why... Each region is different. They have their own wine, their own food, etc. The north side was with the Longobard and with the gold, which they are north people. And the weather is different. That's why you find cream and you find butter. Because when you go to the mountain country, like Piedmont,
mm-hmm.
or Milan, it's cold in the winter. You know.
Okay, that's a big long
so
one.
So when you go from Florence down, not only we have a huge production of olive oil, but the Florentine were conquered by the Spanish.
Yes, of course.
Then they had the in Sicily, they had the Turks, we had the Arabs, you name it. So from each civilization that conquered us, we say thank you because they left a fantastic heritage between monuments, churches, and food.
That's a very
good
point,
If you go to Sicily, you don't think you are in Italy because the Arabs left a huge imprint on food.
And
totally different from Rome.
Joe,
yes,
can I just say,
Orsley,
the Macaris came to Ireland with their fish and chip shops from Italy, and they were the most beautiful fish and chips. I think everyone
well, you know who
that.
Invented the fish and chip was the Romans. And in Rome now, there's still two very old shops. They're about 150 years old. And you go there just for fish and chips and nothing
else. Beautiful.
And then, what happened was, I mean, everybody knows this story. I mean, among here. And, you know, we had a huge poverty. And I mean, poverty, like you had poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So the people outside Rome, The land there is rock. They couldn't do anything. So they start to immigrate. They went, first of all, to England. Some of them went to Argentina and to America, but the problem was the languages. Anyway, they went to England, and the English were not very nice to them. So they went up to Scotland, and they nearly died of cold. Can you imagine Scotland and the Italians? So they decided to go across. And they went across to north of Ireland. And because they were on the wrong side of the blanket, be Catholic, as you can imagine, things didn't go very well. So they came down to south, and they found the Irish very, very friendly, and they were Catholic, so they could, you know, they didn't have any harassments. And they stayed. But the fish and chip originally was a Roman dish.
Okay, that's how that... But Farah, there are, I know I'm walking on eggshells here, so it's free-range eggshells, but there are differences within Italy, don't...
I said that because of all the conquista that we had.
Yeah, but don't the people in the north think that the people in the south don't work as hard as them?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they were laughing, the people from the north, they were laughing at the south because we had the mafia.
Yeah.
The mafia now is in Milan and is taking up all the industry.
Okay.
And now they're getting a taste of what mafia is.
But don't they say, but don't
the
people
in
the north, I was talking to somebody from the north of Italy recently, and she was giving out about the people in the south of Italy because she said even their children have longer school holidays. They don't bother going to school as much as they do up in the north.
That's not true because these people that don't go to school, they're poor, very poor.
Okay.
So they're put to work. Some kids are put to work when they're 11, 12.
But are the school holidays not longer down in the south because of the weather?
Yes, yes. It's the same in Spain. It's the same in any country that is so hot. You couldn't possibly go to school in August.
Let's take a break, Farrah. You have a sorbet, 11.99.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The cheapest whipped ice cream in Ireland seems to be up in Virginia, County Cavan, where you can have Alpine Peaks of whipped ice cream for €2 and a cone. Francois Collin, Francois, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Joe.
You are our Belgian representative. Go ahead. Is Farrah still there?
Yes, hello.
Okay, so, go ahead, Francois.
Yes, so just a few comments on about the sorbet. So sorbet, yes, it is indeed a perfect, refreshing for very hot weather. But nevertheless, you also have a lot of cream ice cream, so gelato ice cream in Italy, as far as I know. From my experience, I have been many times to Italy to follow professional courses. Also, I go every year to Rimini to a big fiera, so a professional fair. So they have gelato made of cream, milk, sugar, sometimes with eggs, and then with the aroma. And then you have the sorbet, which is in fact coming from Persia. So sorbet was in fact invented in Persia and was just spread around hot countries. So it's indeed a refreshing ice cream, if I can call it like that, and perfectly suited for hot weather. But I find it a bit too black and white to say that in Italy they would only have sorbet, because I don't find this is correct. And as a matter of fact, it's a very specific taste in Italy called fior di latte. Fior di latte, which is in fact the milk, in fact, that they use to make gelato. So this is one point I wanted to make. And the second point about the cost, I mean, you have, of course, it depends on if you are using only fresh ingredients or not. Because if you are using fresh fruits, you have a lot of labor cost also to prepare the fruits. Whether a lot of ice cream makers, they use puree, so they buy already pre-packed fruits, which are frozen, and then they defrost it. So you have a little bit, gelato, when they say it's homemade, we make it themselves, you have to see also what they use to make the gelato, if they are using industrialized products or not, if they are making everything themselves or not. So there's all world behind the gelato homemade, there is a lot of variations. Yeah.
Okay, and Francois, are you an ice cream maker?
I am an ice cream maker.
Is that your job?
It's not. I make ice cream for friends. It's my passion.
I'm
passionate about ice cream,
And have you done ice cream making courses, training?
Yes, in Bologna. Okay. And also here in Belgium, I go sometimes to help I've seen a little bit the back door of gelato, let's say.
And would you go to an annual ice cream conference?
Yes, I go. It's a big fair. It's huge. It's in Rimini every year in January. It's called CIGEP. So it's for ice cream, pizza and chocolate.
Okay, say that for a sec. Paula is in Galway. Paula, you were the tip-top ice cream girl, so to speak.
Joe, this seems completely... I'm getting an education here today on all things ice cream. But I do think this is a bit frivolous. And the only reason why I'm ringing is because I just couldn't believe... I said... Does Joe remember the Tip Top?
No, I don't, but anyway.
Do you not?
No.
It was a chalk ice with jelly.
Oh, I do. I love that. And you were the Tip Top girl.
I was, there you go. I was the Tip Top girl back in the day.
And you were in... I'm not too sure
it was 63 or 64, but it was a long time ago.
And were you in the TV ads?
I was, absolutely, yes.
And have you got a copy of the TV ad? Have you seen
yourself? No, but could you help me get one?
Let's try to see, can we get one? What, you think 63,
tip-top
ice cream.
It was actually...
And what age were you, Paula? Do you mind me asking? Well, approximately.
About around the same vintage as yourself, Joe. So I'm saying
you're about 9 or 10. Okay. You're in tip top form.
Yeah.
Okay. Has anyone got a copy of the tip top TV ad made? I presume it was HB, was it then, or Premier?
Well, I'll tell you something. It was about the merger between Marvel Dairies and HB Ice Creams to become Premier Dairy. So it was actually the Premier Dairies ad. But to tell you the God's honest truth, my abiding memory of it is I got to sit in Ardmore Studios I have to tell you, which was extraordinary because they just filmed the Blue Max there. I remember this back in the day. So to be honest about it, that was my
And how many memory. Ice creams did you indulge in while you were making the ad?
Not as many as I could have.
And was a real ice cream? Surely it would have melted with the lights.
No. Joe, it's that long ago, I can't remember a lot of it, but that you tipped my memory there today, and I just thought, no, because I'll tell you why. I'd love to get a copy of the ad, I really would.
And was it shown on telly, or
It was shown on telly, and it was shown on the cinemas.
Okay, tip-top Merville ad around 1963, and you're in it in your little pigtails.
63 or 64, Joe,
okay.
I can't remember.
Okay, the mission has started. Paula, stay with us, Joe at RT.ie.
Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I'm going off from my Canetto. Aisling Gruffudy was in sound. Annette Egan, producer Catherine Thomas is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.